Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This Wednesday was the meeting of the Hope Circle of Women of the Church. And we talked a little bit about denial. And in that particular context, we talked about denial about aging. But we agreed that most of us do experience denial about something, that denial is or seems to be part of being human. And this discussion about denial shaped how I looked at our passage from Jeremiah, and I found signs of denial all through it. Over the past month, I have preached on the prophet Jeremiah several times, and I know that these have not always been easy texts to hear, especially when God says things like, "I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you." That's kind of scary and not necessarily the way we want to think of God. Or perhaps you remember Jeremiah's commission from God when he was just a boy. God said, "I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant." And frankly, so far, most of Jeremiah has been about pulling down and destroying. But today, here in Jeremiah's letter to the exiles, we begin to see some signs of building and planting. There are some signs of hope here in Jeremiah. Now, those of you who attended the Thursday class this week may find some of the background of this passage a little bit familiar, I hope. The year is approximately 594 BC, and Judah and its capital, Jerusalem, are falling apart because the country has been defeated by the Babylonian army. And the king and the royal family and many leaders were taken into exile in Babylon. And the country has, in fact, become a vassal of Babylon. And the city of Jerusalem is still standing, and much of the population is actually still living there. And the king's uncle is now ruling over them. Things in Jerusalem, in fact, aren't quite as bad as they will be 7 years later, when the walls of the city will be leveled and the whole city burned, and the bulk of its inhabitants will be deported to Babylon or Egypt. Now, at the time that we're talking about here, Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem, and he is writing to the remaining elders among the exiles, to the priests, prophets, and leaders whom Nebuchadnezzar has taken into exile. And I wonder how those people in exile felt about the ones who were left behind. Were they eager to hear news from home, or were they perhaps resentful that people like Jeremiah weren't sharing their trauma? Surely things were far worse for the exiles than they were for those left behind. But Jeremiah writes to them anyway, and he continues as a prophet to his poor people and sends this letter by a royal courier because he has heard that the exiles were being misled. There were some would-be prophets among the exiles, and they were going about reassuring the exiles that soon they were going to be going home to Jerusalem. Soon God would intervene for them. But these would-be prophets and the exiles who believe them are in denial. And it's not denial about how bad things are at the present. They're experiencing that very clearly. Their denial is about how long their exile will last. They are deluding themselves about this reality. And this denial on their part is not value neutral. It is not just human nature. It is not just something we all do. This denial is harmful to them and harmful to their community. It is spiritually destructive. This denial is destructive because it robs the exiles of a genuine hope. It distances them from God, and it substitutes the worship of a fantasy. And Jeremiah sets out to let the exiles know as quickly as possible that this fantasy of an immediate return home, this just is not true. In fact, God not only will not intervene at this time, but God has brought about this situation in the first place. God has sent the people into exile, and the exiles need to come to terms with this and move on. And Jeremiah goes on to say, not only do you need to come to terms with this, but you need to promote the welfare of the city where you are in exile, in Babylon. You need to promote its shalom. That's the word that Jeremiah uses, welfare, shalom. Shalom is a deeply meaningful word that can only be associated and found with God. Where there is shalom, there is God. But how can God be there in Babylon, the city of the conquerors, the heathens? Surely shalom and God are only back there in Jerusalem. How can God be present in situations of change, of terrible things happening that we do not want? This is a deeply wounded people. And Jeremiah is trying to give them some courage. He knows they're going through a very tough time. He's trying to equip them to get through. I'm guessing that the exiles' instinct is probably to huddle together in shock. Maybe some of them aren't eating. They're not taking proper care of themselves or of their kids. Probably some of the older and weaker ones have died on that long walk to Babylon, around 400 miles. And now the survivors cannot believe that they are in Babylon. They're away from everything that they know, everything important to them. And so they are seizing upon the words of these would-be prophets who say, oh, we're going home soon, don't worry about it. And Jeremiah has perhaps heard the reports sent back to the king in Jerusalem, and he cannot let his people waste away under a false delusion. He cannot let them worship this false god, denial. And so he writes to them that they will be in Babylon a long time. They need to get on with their lives. They need to make homes for themselves so that they'll have some decent shelter. Plant gardens so that they'll have something to eat. They need to marry and have children and to hope for grandchildren, because it is those later generations that will have the opportunity to return to Jerusalem. It is the later generations who will see God's plans for good fulfilled. 15 years ago, my husband Larry and I moved to Dayton, and I had spent most of my life in the D.C. area, and so coming to the Dayton area meant leaving family behind. It meant leaving behind home and familiar neighborhoods and shopping centers that I knew, doctors, and it meant finding new ones, and I did that. But the one thing that I could not handle was to find someone to cut my hair. And so every time that I went to visit my parents for a year, I would get my hair cut by my former hairdresser. And until I made the switch, until I found a hairdresser here, part of me was still expecting to move back to the DC area soon. Part of me was holding back emotionally. Part of me was in denial that my home was now somewhere else. And maybe some of you have experienced this too. I'm guessing probably not those of you who spent time in the military, because I understand that military know how to make quick transitions and find a new home. But maybe there is something else that you are in denial about. Maybe it is your health. Maybe you feel that those test results must have been wrong and that therefore you don't have to make any changes to your lifestyle. Maybe you are in denial about your finances and you feel you can get that money somewhere and you can splurge on that very expensive item. Maybe you are in denial about how fast you are actually going over the speed limit or how something you said actually affected somebody else. There are plenty of things to be in denial about, and facing them may be harder or easier than finding a new hairdresser. But the new place where you are, the new circumstances, the new city, and it's not necessarily just a physical location, it may be a time of life, a job, relationship, health. This new place may feel like exile sometimes. You may say to yourself, how did this ever happen to me? This isn't how it's supposed to turn out. And you're convinced that you can't be happy in this new way. And you become determined that you will not accept this new state of affairs. You've decided that you just will not settle in. But for us, as it was for the exiles in Babylon, denial is not value neutral. It is not just human nature. It's not just something we all do. It may, in fact, be harmful to us and to our community. It may be spiritually destructive. Denial does us no favors when it keeps us from living in reality and when we don't have the opportunity to experience God's shalom in the actual here and now. So Jeremiah says, have courage. God is here in the everyday details of life, in building houses and planting gardens and having children, in accepting that this is life now, rather than clinging to denial. This is what God wants for you. Jeremiah was trying to give the exiles courage, and what was it that he did that gave them courage? He sent them a letter from home. Just like a care package or a phone call from home can cheer up a homesick camper or a college student struggling in a new place, Jeremiah's letter, his letter from home, gives heart to his poor people in Babylon. And for us, I think that Scripture is our letter from home. It gives us the courage to move beyond denial, the courage to go on with our daily lives and commit to a new home, the courage to live when everything has been turned upside down. Seeking the welfare, the shalom of the place where you are, isn't resignation. Instead, it is wholeness and healing from God. Our letter from home reminds us that God is faithful, that God has followed us in our times of change and pain, and that God is with us even when we are in exile. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.